Verse 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a place shall be my camp. The man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. The king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. In other words, a whole bunch. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? Sounds like the Trump administration, doesn't it? Got people in there telling secrets. And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, tells the king of Israel words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he's in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. Now y'all stop reading. All right, I know y'all, some of y'all already know it, but don't keep reading. So here's what's happening. King of Syria is invading and trying to conquer Israel. And so he says, let's go down there and set up camp, and we'll catch them as they come by. And Elisha tells the king of Israel, don't go there because he's coming there. And so the king of Israel sent a couple of guys, said, go see if he's... And they were really there. And so he saved their life. This happened several times. And finally the king of Syria says to his people, somebody's telling them what's going on in here. And one of his guys says, it's not us. There's not a spy among us. But God has told the prophet that's in Israel, Elisha, and Elisha has told the king of Israel. And he said, then I want y'all to go get him. And so he sent an army down there, and they went by night while Elisha's sleeping, and they surrounded the city of Dothan. Verse 15, and when the servant of the man of God, when Elisha's servant was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots, and his servant said to Elisha, alas, my master, how shall we do? How many of us would be afraid of that? The enemy surrounded him. And he answered, fear not. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. And that servant probably started counting. There's two of us. Verse 17, and Elisha prayed, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. The Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. They had a protection. To be able to see into the spiritual realm, to be able to see beyond what we see. We don't see that stuff. He wouldn't have been able to see it, but Elisha prayed and God opened his eyes. But Elisha, though he didn't see it, sensed it. Because he knew God was on his side. And so, while the enemy was coming, and if he knew, if God told Elisha every time Syria was going to camp somewhere, don't you think God told Elisha, hey, they're coming. They're outside. They're surrounding you. And so Elisha didn't worry. He trusted God. He couldn't see it, but he trusted God. And there are things, you know, over and over again, when I get burdened and I get worried and I get stressed and I start looking for answers, and finally I've come to the conclusion I don't have the answers. I can't solve this. And I pray and say, God, I'm going to turn it over to you and just trust you. You've got this. And just help me have the peace that you've got it. And he's got it. And he proves it every time. And so we just need to learn to surrender and let God take care of things. But I think that sometimes we need the practice. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, where he says, if my people will what? humble themselves. And to humble yourself is to come to the end. It is to search ourselves and realize, I got nowhere to go. I just cannot comprehend the arrogance of people who walk around and believe that we came from monkeys and fish. The arrogance that they have to think that this is all there is. That's arrogant. To say, well, I am the God of the universe. I am the God of my universe. And I make the laws and I make the rules. And the only person's feelings that matter are mine. That's arrogant. But when we humble ourselves is when we realize our emptiness, when we are empty and we can see our emptiness and we humble ourselves before God. We've come to the end of ourselves. And here, this servant looks around and he counts and he does not see a force that can fight. He does not see a possibility of victory. All he sees is defeat. Alas, my master, how shall we do? In verse number 18, the Syrians came down to him, and Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness, that God's people's eyes would be opened, and that those who resisted God would be closed. Those were his two prayers. And God smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha, according to his prayer. We've got to believe in the power of our prayer. We've got to believe that when we go to God, that God hears us and that he responds according to his love and according to his power. We've all prayed for things we didn't get. We've prayed for things for ourselves, or we prayed for our friends and those we love that were hurting or dying or sick or whatever. And it didn't get answered the way we wanted to. But that doesn't mean God doesn't answer prayer. God answers prayer. And here Elisha prayed and God answered his prayer again. And that verse 19, Elisha said to them, oh, this is not the way. Neither is this the city. Follow me and I'll bring you to the man whom you seek. So, it's not that they were physically blind. It's that they were ignorant. It's that they had no understanding. And he said, y'all are in the wrong place. Come with me, I'll take you to the right place. And so, it came to pass in verse 20, when they were come into Samaria, Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of this man, that they may see. Remember when there were two men on the road to Emmaus? And there was this fellow that came up and he said, guys, what's wrong? Y'all sound sad. And they said, don't you know what's happening in Jerusalem today? And they began to talk and Jesus talked to them and told them. And he talked about Moses and the Old Testament and the New Testament and the Gospel. And then they said, well, we're going to stop here and eat. And he says, well, I'm going to go. And they said, no, stay with us. He said, okay, I'll stay with you. And they prepared a meal. And they said, let's pray. And Jesus prayed. And when he prayed, their ignorance was gone. Their blindness was gone. And they realized that was Jesus. Did not our heart burn within us as he spoke to us in the way? So, this blindness, we're not talking about the inability to see. We're talking about the inability to understand what's really going on. And he prays, Lord, open the eyes of this men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. They looked around and guess what? They were surrounded. Man, they had come in by night, surrounded Elisha. And now they're surrounded right in the broad daylight in Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, verse 21, when he saw them, the king said to the prophet, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? What was his instinct? These guys have been giving him, running him around, making him crazy, making him weary, making him tired. His people were weary. He was weary. He looked like a chicken because he's running around trying to stay away from these guys. And now he has the opportunity to end it. But instead of following his fleshly instinct, how many of you have that? Instead of following our fleshly instinct, he said to God's man, "What shall I do?" And it's the same thing for us to pray. God, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? That was his inclination. That was his instinct. But rather than do that, he prayed. I know he prayed to Elisha. He asked Elisha. But it's the same as us talking to God. Verse 22. And Elisha answered, "Thou shalt not smite them. Wouldst thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master." And the king prepared great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Elisha said, "Wouldn't you give them bread and water? Wouldn't you just at least meet their hunger?" How many of y'all have ever eaten something just marvelous? You say, "Oh man, that's good." And how many of you have settled for cheese crackers? Cheese crackers will satisfy you, won't they? I mean, they'll fill you up. But it's nothing like that marvelous meal. This king, he didn't give them cheese crackers or bread. It says he gave them great provision. Man, and by the way, you ever been to a bakery? Bread could be pretty good. And they ate, and they were full, and they drank, and they were drunk. And I mean, they thought, "Wow, this is some way to treat prisoners." And he let them go. God can give us great secret counsel if we listen. He could tell us things we didn't know. Brother Leroy, just telling me a story before church. He was driving from Atlanta, or driving through Atlanta, right? And something told him to change lanes. Just before, he had a blowout. Destroyed the back of his car, basically. And he could have been, you know, right in the middle of traffic, 75 miles an hour, 6-lane highway. But something told him. God will give us secret counsel. God will tell us things we don't know. If we'll listen, if we'll be sensitive to Him, if we'll trust Him. And so, not only that, but we need to know there's more with us than there are them. I'm going to tell you something. We live in a wicked world. You see how they wanted to take a chapel that was donated on a university campus, and they wanted to take all the Bibles out of it, take the cross off the steeple, any reference to Jesus or God or Christian or gospel or so it would just be a plain building with a steeple on it, because they don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Because it's offensive. The cross is offensive. The flag is offensive. You know, I understand that the war is over and we are a United States, but we can't erase history. And yet, that's what they're trying to do. But there's more of us than there are of them. But what happens is, we don't want to cause a fuss. And we don't want to get involved in debate. And we don't want to argue. And so we just don't solve our problems. And they're running over us. They got abortion and Planned Parenthood. How in the world? Why are we supporting that? And you say, "Well, I'm not." Yeah, our tax money is. How can our tax money be used in foreign lands to build mosques? How is that? and to, well, we might as well leave the government alone. That's a problem we can't solve, right? But we got to raise our voice, and we got to be heard. But the most important thing is we got to not give up. I remember a pastor telling me, retired pastor, POW in World War II, and he looked at me, I guess the last time I saw him before he died, and he said, I don't know if I'd go to war for this country in the state that it is. With Obama and Hillary, and I mean, it was during that time. But we got to. It's our country. I watch the news, and I just wonder, when is it going to come time? And I don't mean to, maybe I better turn the recorder off.